All right, we're in Romans 16. I'm going to read that, and we'll open up in prayer. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Father, we thank you as we resume our studies in Romans and the things that pertain to the mystery and your son, Lord Jesus Christ. We are praying, as always, for more insight and more enlightenment as we read and believe your word. We pray for the body universal that you may strengthen them according to their needs as we embark upon this new year's journey. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, we'll try to do a little recap here since we've been off for a minute. What has brought us to this point, we were going through slowly through Romans, and I thought, especially toward the end of this chapter, the main issue we were speaking of, the mystery, the revelation of the mystery, we wanted to go slowly through here to see what Paul says about the mystery. There's no doubt that that's the key. Recognizing Paul's apostleship is the key to understanding where you are today as a member of his body, and a key to understanding what is going on today. So what we did was we took a look at the things that were in question, in my understanding. Paul talks about these things. He's clearing up not who the king is, who is Jesus Christ. He's not clearing up the kingdom, in my understanding, because the kingdom was not a question in his day either. The question was the heirs. Who are the heirs, and when is the kingdom going to resume? That's the only thing Paul could address in his day, because those were the issues on the table. We went back, we looked at the mysteries of the kingdom. The Lord left those with the disciples, and they asked the same question. Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for them to know the times or the seasons. Now, what we did notice is that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, there was a distinction between those two. The kingdom of God focuses on the heirs. The kingdom of heaven focuses on the inheritance. So when John comes and says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's speaking about the inheritance. When the Pharisees and those leaders came to John's baptism, he asked them, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, he was saying, who told you that you needed to be a member of the kingdom of God? It's the personal response that he's looking for. And we looked at some of those things with Nicodemus and the Joseph of Arimathea, how the issue for the kingdom of God is the internal response, the faith response for the believer. In Luke, the focus was more so on the kingdom of God. In Matthew, the focus was on the kingdom of heaven. Those two things, I think, show the distinctions also. In Luke, we talked about the Son of God, how Jesus was the Son of God. It was focusing on the man. In Matthew's gospel, it was focusing on the Lord as being the rightful king of the inheritance. So you can go back and look at those messages for clarity. And if there's some discrepancies there that you guys, you know how to reach me to let me know, hey, I think you missed it on this, and we can go back and look at some of those things. But where we are now, when Paul comes on the scene, Paul begins to preach, not the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he begins to preach the kingdom of God, focusing on the individual. So when we get to Paul's beginning of his public ministry, we'll say in Acts 13, he goes out, he preaches, and he talks about the kingdom of God all the way over to Acts 28, where he finishes and said to those Jews in Rome, let me read that, Acts 28. He meets with the Jews, Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's a kingdom of God issue. It's your heart. It's hearing. It's faith. It's the response of faith. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. When he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So the two issues when Paul begins his ministry and when he closes out in Acts is the kingdom of God and the salvation of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's those things that pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that's offered to all through him. You notice Paul doesn't say anything about the kingdom of heaven, but he's talking now about the kingdom of God and the salvation of God. And that's not, I don't think that's an accident. In Matthew, when John shows up, John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand because the king is here. Well, Matthew closes out with the kingdom of heaven is like a man that travels to a faraway country. That's how we left that. The kingdom of heaven goes from at hand to being far away. So you don't preach something's near. You don't preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand when it's not at hand. You don't present an inheritance at hand when the inheritance is not at hand. So Paul preaches the kingdom of God because what is still available is this man, Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness that comes through him. The offer is still available to the heirs, to those who would be heirs. In Acts 13, when Paul begins, he said to those Jews that seeing ye judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Well, everlasting life, you only get that through the Son. That's the kingdom of God issue. Seeing you judge yourselves unworthy, we turn to the Gentiles. So that's where we end up, is recognizing that the issue at hand now is those who will respond to the salvation of God being offered, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Last couple of lessons, we looked at Luke, where those two believers, those old believers, were waiting for the salvation of God. They were waiting for the consolation of God. And it turns out that that salvation and that consolation was a baby, which he's not a baby anymore. He is the salvation of God sent. I think, what was it? We talked about that, Ed. Jesus was his name. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. That's what was being, that's the person that's being offered now to all. So in Acts, pick up there and move on. In Acts, when they begin to preach, even the apostles don't preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They preach the resurrected Christ, the salvation that they initially rejected. They are offering again a change of mind to the leadership. And coincidentally, the book of Acts when you look at the book of Acts, it is a record of the witness of the Holy Ghost. A witness. Look at John 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, start at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now there's another passage about the Holy Ghost, where he said about the Lord said about the Holy Ghost that he would not testify of himself, but he will take the things of mine and show it unto you. I can't recall that where that is right now, but the Holy Ghost is the witness during the Acts period. So look at Acts chapter 1, and let's see if we can follow this. Acts chapter 1, he's not just the comforter. He's going to be the empowerment for them to witness. He's going to be the proof, the continued proof by the signs, miracles, and wonders that the Lord was who he said he was. Acts chapter 1, start at verse 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore they had to replace Judas, who fell by transgression. Verse 21. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taking up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justin, and then they end up and they pick Matthias. So the Holy Ghost is coming upon them to empower them to continue these infallible proofs that Jesus was resurrected, that he is alive. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, that's David, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed forth, this which ye now see and hear. The issue is the resurrected Christ. They are witness. They are being a witness of the resurrected Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. All now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. So again, the issue goes on and on. It's the Holy Ghost being the witness of the resurrected Christ. Let's go over to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. As the people began to respond, some of those people began to believe. They began to multiply. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Let's start at verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. You see the theme here? It's the resurrected, it's the witness of the resurrection. Now let's skip. You know about Stephen. You know how he was witnessed, full of the Holy Ghost. He's witnessing to them about Jesus. Over to Acts 10. Acts 10, Peter is witnessing. He's going to Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Okay, verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, testify, that's the witness, to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So this witness goes on and on and on and over to Acts chapter. Let's pick up with Paul. Acts chapter 9, where Paul was the chosen vessel. So let's pick Acts 26, verse 6. Paul is before Agrippa, testifying to the kings why he's being charged by the Jews. Acts 26, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God, day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Now, this is a verse where Paul, he's talking about, I'm called in question of the hope. And I see how it's done. One of my brothers, he says, see, the hope was the kingdom of heaven. And I partly agree with that, because you don't get an inheritance without the heir. In other words, if the king is gone, so is the kingdom. But the issue in Acts is not the kingdom. The issue in Acts is being a witness of the resurrected Lord. It's the individual response that those people in Acts, the Holy Ghost is after an individual response. That's why when Paul, from Acts 1 on till 28, the issue is, what are you going to do with this man? The kingdom of God. Can you respond to him individually? Acts 26, verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God, day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that the kingdom of heaven should come to earth? That's not what he said, is it? He said to Agrippa, the hope that I'm waiting for, the hope that those tribes are anticipating, the thing that they're standing for, and the thing that I'm standing for, is the resurrection of the dead. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Verily, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon I, as I went to Damascus with authority with and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we are all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, who is he persecuting? Who is Paul? Paul said that I punished them often in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them. And the Lord says, Why are you persecuting me?
His body.
The Lord, just like he told them, he says, in that day, you're going to know that I'm in you and you're in me and I'm in the Father, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a little, just a note for our next lessons coming up. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. Who's them? Among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And he goes on to talk about, let's keep reading. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus witness, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. You tell me.
Witnessing.
Thank you. Both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Nope. None of the things that Moses should say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that would hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul is saying, that's the issue, King, is do you believe that this man is resurrected from the dead? You see, first thing is first, is you don't become a member of an inheritance if you're not an heir. And this is something that, and I knew this verse, but this was in one of Ed's classes. This was years ago. We were, I think it was in the house class. I read the verse several times, but this night, whatever lesson we were in, it just clicked like it never clicked before. And well, you know what? I'm going to turn to that verse. Hebrews chapter 9.
Oh, yeah.
You already know, don't you, Ed?
Yes.
Well, you can go ahead and tell us. What did you say?
I don't know. But oh. I'll read the Hebrews chapter 9.
That's Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16.
For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, and otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. I'm sorry.
Yes, that verse. It just gave me a little more insight into it. You don't get anything without the death of the testator. The death, in this case, the death, burial, and the resurrection. That's what enables you and I to be heirs. So when the witness, the Holy Ghost witnessing through Acts, is offering to the heirs an opportunity now to have a right to the inheritance. Otherwise, you don't get anything.
In other words, not only did it have to happen, but you have to believe it happened.
You have to, it's individual. You have to embrace that. And I say you have to make that faith transaction. That's what they're after all through Acts. That's what Paul says. I would to God that everyone was like me, except these bonds.
Right.
Wouldn't you feel great if everybody you witnessed to had a positive response?
Yes.
All the people you wanted to be saved, where they would hear it one time and like, oh, wow. I believe that. But normally it doesn't. They do what Agrippa did. Almost.
Yeah.
You almost got me. That's what they're after. That's what we're after. That's where Paul, when he ends up in Acts 28, when he calls everywhere he goes, he's calling that meeting. He's, listen, guys, this happened. It's true. He is the Son of God. You can get in line for salvation. Everywhere he goes, that's the issue. Acts 28, he reaches Rome, that's the issue. He finishes off with his final witness to those elders at Rome, the final witness. When he goes to them and when they agreed not among themselves, he says, well spake the Holy Ghost, well witnessed the Holy Ghost about you, that you would hear it and not hear it, that you would see it and not see it, that you wouldn't believe to be converted. Wouldn't believe what, Paul? The thing pertaining to the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. And I'll give you two guesses what he's talking about Jesus Christ.
That he's the king, he's the heir.
And one big thing.
His death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes, he's resurrected. Yeah. He's resurrected. That's salvation. And so when they would not receive that testimony, he says, well, be it known therefore unto you, the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, what's significant about that in that Acts period you have, from start to finish, you have the witness of the Holy Ghost about the resurrected Lord. It was an opportunity for the Jews who had not heard to repent. Acts chapter 19. Here's a little something to help out here, I think. When Apollos, Acts 19:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. No idea about the resurrection. He's just preaching the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What do you think he went from the baptism of John to, guess what?
The resurrection of Jesus Christ.
That's it. Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Never heard the witness. Not only did they not know it was the Holy Ghost, they didn't hear the message of the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. They asked him, what were you baptized unto? And another way of saying is, well, what were you identified with? Well, let's see if Paul answered that question. Then said,
you asked that question, or that was what we talked about when we ended our last lesson. You told us that was our homework. And what I put down was that John's baptism was to believe on him that should come. And it was Paul that identified that it was Christ.
Oh, I forgot the homework. I guess you're the only one that remembered.
I think so.
Well, you get an A for that.
A for effort. Doesn't mean I got it right. But.
Well, let's see. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after, that is, on Christ. There you go. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, separating the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Well, what I want in verse 7, the disciples were baptized unto the Lord Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. That's what I want right there. Oftentimes, things in scriptures are typical of, illustrative of things that should happen. Types, shadows. This response of these men is what the nation should be responding to, or what when Paul is going to these Jews out here, this is what their response should be. All of them, not just these 12 men, all of them should be responding like these men. They should all have a positive response, but they're not having that response. Remember that there was a man who was, he was laying at the gate, and he was 38 years he had been there. He had been laying 38 years. That was typical of the nation. The nation Israel wandered in the wilderness 38 years. So those unbelievers could die off. And when it came time for the positive response, none of those men who heard it and rejected it, none of them entered in. We'll look at that next week. But those numbers are often typical of what the response should be. And Paul said here, the Holy Ghost here indicates that in all the men were about 12. Showing you that, hey, this is what should have happened. But because it didn't, this salvation, this man, this gospel of the resurrected Lord, is going now to the Gentiles. And it's going, guess what's going with it is the kingdom of God message too. It's that individual response. You know, and I'll say this and we'll wrap it up with this. Just like numbers, incidents are typical of things, there's a verse. Paul said this in Romans chapter 5. He says that death reigned from Adam to Moses. That's a whole time frame. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They didn't have a written law to break. They didn't have a spoken law to break. It was just manifested in them. Sin was. Proof that they were under sin was they did wrong, for one, and they died. And he died. He did this, he lived so long, and he died. Well, that's the result of sin. Then comes the law, Moses, and the prophets were unto John. Remember that? And from that time forward, from John, from Moses to John, something else happened. From that time forward, the kingdom
was preached and all men pressed into it.
Okay. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven?
That's just that I don't remember which it is.
Okay. Well, let's look. Luke 16:16 is one. I know that by memory. And Luke.
Well,
then
we know it's the kingdom of God because only Matthew says kingdom of heaven.
Okay, and there's another one, Matthew. In Matthew, I have to find that one. Matthew, Mark, Luke 16:16. Let's look at that one first. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So every man presseth into it. That is, he gives what he has, and his effort is put into that. That's your faith response.
Say that one more time.
Every man presseth into it. That is the man's faith response. You notice in the Gospels, where one of the criteria is that a man has to forsake all for me, for the Lord. He has to forsake all and follow me. That's the issue when we talk about the rich man, how the response of their heart, how every time the Lord confronts the person, they ask, what must I do? What must I do? And they said, well, I've done that. And he says, one thing, sell everything. Sell everything you have. And he went away sorrowful. The issue is, what are you willing to give up? The issue, Blake, is the worship and service. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are you willing to do that? That's the kingdom of God issue. It's the image issue. It's the son issue. It's the heart response. Not my will, but thy will. Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? We don't need to get to that far. But he says the kingdom in Matthew, the Lord says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's the opposition that the leadership had to the inheritance and the heirs. Remember that parable where they said, this is the heir. Come and let us kill him and let us, you remember what they said? Let us
seize on his inheritance.
Seize on his inheritance. There you go, right there. They didn't want that man to reign over them. But those who believe, the common people, received him gladly. He takes it from the leaders and gives it to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So this issue is, you see, it's the from Adam to Moses, kingdom of God issue. From Moses to John, still a kingdom of God issue. In our case, we're looking at it in Luke's aspect of it. And then in Paul's time, Paul's day, still issue is still the same. Is what are you going to do with this man? So what we're going to do is stop there, and we'll pick up next week and get back into the salvation of God, and then move toward a close to Romans 16. But there's still a couple of issues that are still outstanding that I believe the revelation of the mystery addresses, and that is the salvation of God being the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God being a response to the Lord Jesus Christ to make you an heir, which brings upon the next question is an heir of what and with who? And those are all issues that come up when we look at the revelation of the mystery. And that'll kind of bring us full circle from our studies in Romans. So we're going to stop there and pick up again next time. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray as we study these things and meditate on them that our errors might become manifest to us, that we can correct those things that we have wrong, because we want to say and do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. And we just thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.